Chapter 6. The girls hurried through the woods, clambering over rocks and down hills until they finally found a road. It was there that Daphne pulled away to catch her breath.
"We should go back home and get Uncle Jake," the little girl said.
"He's not there, remember?" Sabrina said. "Everyone is out running errands."
"But what about those women in the ferry? We can't just leave them back there. He'll kill them," Daphne argued.
"I think the three of them can defend themselves," Sabrina said, as she scanned the edge of the forest in case the wolf had indeed slaughtered the odd trio and was now on their trail.
"Besides, we're just a couple of kids. We need help if we're going to try to stop Mr. Canis."
"What kind of help?"
Sabrina approached her sister.
"You remember the key that Mr. Hampstead gave us before we left New York City?"
Daphne slipped a hand inside of her shirt and pulled out a necklace. Dangling from its end was a small silver key with several numbers engraved on its side.
"This?"
Sabrina nodded.
"Remember, Hampstead gave us this and told us to use it only if Mr. Canis ever lost control of the wolf. It opens a safety deposit box. Hampstead said there was a weapon inside that could stop the wolf in his tracks."
Daphne looked down at the silver key.
"What's a safety deposit box?"
"It's like a safe. You put your valuables in it. They keep them at the bank."
"That's where Granny is."
"I know. She can help us too."
Sabrina took Daphne's hand.
"We have to hurry."
Unfortunately, the road they were on was the long way to town, and it took several hours of steady walking before they came across any hint of civilization. The first thing they recognized was a farm they had driven by many times. Granny had told them it was owned by Old MacDonald, the farmer from the famous nursery rhyme. But as they approached, they were shocked to see that the farm looked as if it had been abandoned. The fields were overgrown with weeds, the barns were falling down on themselves, and the cattle pens and livestock houses were empty. As they got closer, they realized that the farmer's house had been destroyed by a terrible fire. Oddly, the destruction appeared to have occurred long ago.
"What happened?" Daphne said,
asking the question Sabrina had knocking around in her own head.
"I don't know," Sabrina said. "Did Granny mention this?"
Daphne shook her head.
"Come on," Sabrina continued. "We can't hang out here all day. I think we've got another half an hour of walking before we get to Main Street."
They soon came across the rusty railroad tracks that ran along the Hudson River and led to the train station in the center of town. As they walked along the tracks, they saw more surprising scenes. The stern of an enormous sunken ship was sticking out of the water. Several broken-down cars lined the grassy beach. When they finally stepped into town, they noticed a sign above the train station. It had once read, "Welcome to Ferryport Landing," but someone had crossed out the Ferryport and added a more sinister message. The sign now read, "Beware, you are now entering Ferryport, Fairyport, Landing." Even more shocking was the state of the town. The little shops were abandoned, their doors torn away and windows broken. Many stores were in flames. There were sounds of fire alarms in the distance, but no sign of any fire trucks. The streets were deserted, riddled with potholes and smoldering automobiles. Sabrina couldn't believe what she was seeing.
"I guess Uncle Jake isn't doing such a good job of keeping Baba Yaga in check." "This is going to take an awful lot of forgetful dust," Daphne said, as she gaped at all the destruction.
When they came upon the bank, they were stunned to find the building was nothing but cinders. Everything inside it was burned to a black ash, including the teller's windows, the ATM, and most important, the safety deposit boxes. There was nothing left.
"Granny!"
Daphne cried, nearly in hysterics. Sabrina reached down and scooped up a handful of ash. It was cool to the touch.
"Daphne, this happened a long time ago," Sabrina said, trying to reassure her sister while deciphering the puzzle before her. "If the bank burned down this morning, why is the ash cold?"
Sabrina looked around at the little town. The streets were empty. In fact, there wasn't a living soul in sight. Where were all the people?
Something's wrong, she said. I must be having another hallucination.
Well, I'm having the same one you are, Daphne said.
Suddenly the street went dark, as if something had blocked out the sun. Sabrina watched an enormous shadow zip across the street and vanish. The sunshine returned as fast as it disappeared.
What was that?
Daphne said nervously. Sabrina scanned the skies. Must have been a cloud. Just then, there was an enormous roar, like the angry threats of 1,000 lions. It rattled Sabrina's ears as well as a loose shard of glass in the window of Dr. P's abandoned dentist office. The glass fell from its frame and broke on the pavement.
Clouds don't make noises like that, Daphne said. Clouds don't make noises at all.
Sabrina continued studying the sky. She spotted something far off on the horizon. At first it was tiny, no bigger than a bird. But as it approached, Sabrina could see that it was actually quite large and incredibly fast. As it drew closer, Sabrina could make out its bright red wings, which spanned the width of a football field. They supported a huge reptilian body covered in scales and a long tail that slashed through the air. The creature's neck was snake-like, and it had enormous teeth. Sabrina had seen a drawing of it in an old children's book. She had even seen a movie about a kid who had one as a pet. But this thing was no pet.
Run!
Sabrina yelled as she latched onto her sister's hand. Together they sped down the broken street, dodging potholes and burned-out cars.
Sabrina, is that what I think it is?
Daphne shouted over the monster's wail. And then the creature fell from the sky and landed in their path. It crouched down, almost like a cat, and sniffed the air around them. Its breath smelled of fumes and sulfur.
Yes, it's a dragon, Sabrina whispered.
The creature roared once more, and a blast of blisteringly hot air danced across Sabrina's skin. Luckily, the beast was too far away to burn them.
Heads up, kiddies, said a voice from above.
Sabrina looked to the sky, sure that the voice belonged to their only hope, Puck. But it wasn't Puck. Instead, it was the strange fairy they had encountered in the woods. He fell out of the sky like a missile and planted his feet on top of the dragon's snout. The impact forced the beast's chin into the pavement, stunning it for a few moments. Then it reared back and belched a ball of flame at the fairy. The winged man was quick in the air, darting back and forth with amazing speed and agility, and the deadly missile never reached its target. But the dragon was not discouraged. It let loose a dozen more blasts at the flying man, edging closer to him with each attempt. Luckily, the fairy steered the monster away from Sabrina and Daphne.
"You have to come with us," said a voice from behind them.
The girls spun around to find the blonde warrior woman. She had her sword drawn, while her sister, the dark-haired woman, was holding a wand that glowed with green energy.
"We're not going anywhere with you,"
Sabrina said, stepping in front of her sister. She clenched her fists and snarled, preparing for a fight if the older women wanted one. She set her feet the way Ms. White had taught her, but before she could even take a swing, the fairy snatched her and Daphne off the ground and hoisted them onto his shoulders like they were a couple of sacks of potatoes.
"There's no time to explain," the fair-haired woman said. "We have to get to safety. If they find you out here, they will kill you."
"Who?" Daphne cried. "Who will kill us?"
"The Scarlet Hand."
Sabrina and Daphne shouted a million questions, but every one was ignored. Instead, the dark-haired woman reached into one of the many pockets on her jacket and took out what appeared to be a tiny blue marble. With her other hand, she snatched Sabrina by the arm. The blonde woman grabbed Sabrina by the other arm and then latched onto Daphne.
"Don't forget about me," the fairy said as he planted a kiss on the blonde woman and put an arm around her waist.
A moment later, Sabrina felt energy swirl around her body. It seemed to invade her pores, rush through her bloodstream, and dance on the edges of her mind. She looked over at her sister to find that Daphne's hair was standing on end, and she had to assume her own was doing the same. There was a bright flash of light, like someone was snapping a picture, and then Sabrina felt a far more peculiar sensation. It wasn't uncomfortable or painful, but it felt as if her body was being folded neatly into halves, then folded again and again and again, until she was a tiny fragment of herself, so small she was invisible. And then she was folded once more and vanished from existence. When the lights came on, Sabrina found herself lying on a pile of rags in a filthy room. Scattered about were musty books, old furniture, and boxes of odd trinkets. She scanned the room, puzzled by its familiarity. She had been here before, but where was here? She looked up at the filthy chandelier, and then at a table covered in potions and odd books. One of them, she could clearly see, was bound with what looked like human skin. She fought a wave of revulsion.
"We're inside Baba Yaga's house," Sabrina croaked.
"What?" Daphne said groggily. The little girl was lying right next to Sabrina.
"I was having a dream about ice cream."
"Do you know how we got here?" Sabrina asked. Daphne shook her head.
"It's really freaky," a voice said from behind them.
Sabrina spun around to find the grown-up fairy sitting on a chair, watching over them.
"When is your birthday?"
"It's in 2 days," Sabrina replied suspiciously. "I'll be 12.
Just then, the warrior sisters entered the room. Sabrina studied them, noticing the scar that ran along the dark-haired woman's face. It started at the bottom of her earlobe and ran down to just below her chin. It was an ugly wound, and from what Sabrina could tell, fairly fresh.
"I don't remember this happening," the fairy said to the women. "But then again, you two were always running off on your own back then. Did it happen and you just didn't tell me?"
The blonde woman shook her head.
"This definitely did not happen."
"It appears as if the phenomenon has occurred again," the woman with the scar replied.
"What are you talking about?" Sabrina demanded. "What phenomenon?"
"We should take them to William," the dark-haired woman said, ignoring Sabrina's questions.
"We should take them as far away from here as possible," her sister argued. "Who knows what could happen if they got hurt?"
"You need to take us home," Sabrina interrupted. "Everything has gone crazy. The town is in ruins, there are dragons flying around, and Mr. Canis has lost control of himself. I know he looks like a monster, but that thing you were fighting is our friend."
The brown-haired woman's face looked tense.
"That creature is no one's friend," she said sternly. "We barely got away with our lives."
"You don't understand," Sabrina argued. "My family can help. We fix problems all the time. You need to let us go home."
"I'm afraid we can't do that," the blonde woman said.
"Oh, yeah? Who do you think you are, kidnapping us?"
The blonde woman reached out for a handshake.
"My name is Sabrina Grimm. This is my sister, Daphne Grimm, and my husband, Puck."
Sabrina and Daphne stared at them.
"You people are nutballs," Sabrina cried. "Mucho nutballs-o."
The woman claiming to be Daphne ignored the insult.
"House, head for the mountains," she shouted. And the house made an abrupt turn, jostling the girls until they both fell to the floor.
If there had been any lingering doubt in Sabrina's mind that they were in Baba Yaga's home, it was now gone. The blonde woman who called herself Sabrina helped Sabrina and Daphne back to their feet.
"I'm guessing that you're pretty confused, but we'll sort this out as soon as we get back to the camp."
"What camp?"
Again, their questions were ignored, and the house marched on, thumping and bouncing with every step. Sabrina couldn't be sure, but she felt as if it might be running at a full sprint.
The camp was really a fortress surrounded by high walls made of logs. It was built in the shape of a square, with four tall towers at each corner. The towers had lookouts, and each was equipped with a large cannon-like weapon that had water dripping from its barrel. Long hoses ran out of the back of the weapons and down the inside of the walls. Sabrina watched from a window of Baba Yaga's house as an immense gate swung open to allow them to enter the compound. Once the witch's house was inside, the gate was closed again and then reinforced with beams to prevent it from being opened from outside.
Inside stood a dozen tiny cabins made from stones, a small farm, a pen for cattle and chickens, and what looked like an elaborate obstacle course. Men and women rushed through it while a small man barked orders at them. The house trotted over to a well and awkwardly dropped to the ground. Sabrina noticed the long tubes attached to the cannons ran down into the well, and she understood that the weapons in the towers shot water, probably at approaching dragons. A moment later, the fairy who claimed to be Puck opened the door. Waiting outside was an elderly man wearing what appeared to be a burlap sack he had fashioned into a shirt and pants. "How goes it, Faithful John?" the fairy asked, taking the man's hand and shaking it vigorously.
"All is quiet, so all is good," the man said with a smile.
"Where's William?" the woman with the scar asked as she stepped outside.
"He's on patrol, but should be back soon,"
Faithful John replied. Just then, there was a loud trumpeting.
"I guess that's him."
The doors swung open once more, and a great white horse charged through. A rugged man, dressed in purple slacks and a white shirt, sat atop the horse. His hair was long and dark, and he held a sword in one hand and the horse's reins in the other. Sabrina and Daphne had to jump out of the horse's path for fear of being trampled.
"The Hand has a platoon of Card soldiers by the river," the man shouted. "Tell the general that we might be able to attack at dusk."
Faithful John nodded and raced toward a tent on the other side of the camp. As for the man on the horse, he leaped off while the great doors of the camp were once again secured. Sabrina took a closer look at him. He was shockingly handsome, despite his unkempt beard, long hair, and filthy clothing. There was also something very familiar about him, though she couldn't be sure just what. The man sensed her looking and turned and stared at the girls for a long moment. Then, without warning, he wrapped them up in his arms and cried with happiness.
"Girls, how did you get here?"
Sabrina pulled herself away.
Hello? Personal space?
"It's me, Prince Charming."
"Nuh-uh," Daphne said.
But Sabrina wasn't so sure. She studied his face using her imagination to cut his hair and shave his beard. It didn't make sense. But soon it was clear that the man was telling the truth.
"Where did you come from?" he asked, reaching out and shaking them happily.
"We were out in the woods with Mr. Canis and..."
"Canis? Is he here too?"
the prince said hopefully. Sabrina had never heard Charming speak of their family friend with anything but disdain.
"You have to help us," Sabrina said, struggling to believe that she was asking the notoriously grouchy prince for his assistance. "These freaks kidnapped us before I could warn Granny and Uncle Jake about what is going on."
"Yeah, the town has gone mucho crazy-o," Daphne said.
The former mayor's face sank.
"No, no, no, no," he said as he shook his head.
"Charming, we have to do something. Mr. Canis has turned into the big bad wolf, and there are dragons everywhere. The whole town is in danger."
"You don't have to worry about Mr. Canis. Everyone's better off where they are,"
Charming said as he ran his hand through his dusty hair. "In the past."
"Not you too," Sabrina groaned. "I've had it with this practical joke. What do you want me to say? I believe you? You've fooled me? Well, forget it. It takes a lot to pull a prank on me."
"It's not a prank," the blonde warrior said. "Ferryport Landing has been like this for almost 15 years.
"That's impossible,"
Sabrina exclaimed, as she felt her sister slip her hand into her own and squeeze tightly.
"Sabrina," the woman continued, "I'm you. I'm 26 years old. In 2 days, I'll be 27.
She turned to the dark-haired woman she called her sister. "And this is Daphne." Sabrina studied their faces. She had to admit the dark-haired woman did look like Daphne, but without all the light and happiness of her sister's face.
"And I'm Puck," the fairy said.
His big pink wings popped out of his back and lifted him several feet off the ground. He put his hands on his hips and grinned broadly.
Ta-da!
Now I know this is a joke, Sabrina said, spinning on the fairy. Ever-afters don't grow old.
Not true, Sabrina. An ever-after can grow old if he wants. Most don't because they don't have a good reason, Puck said, sharing an affectionate look with the woman claiming to be Sabrina. The fairy had a gold ring on his left hand that was identical to the one the older Sabrina wore. Daphne squealed.
You mean you and Puck really married?
The older Sabrina grinned bashfully, then looked at the fairy. He gets a little less annoying as he gets older.
But only a little, the fairy said with a laugh.
He rubbed the top of Sabrina's head.
We should introduce our guests to the general.
They walked to a tent at the center of the camp. Charming pulled back the flaps and ushered the girls inside. The older versions of themselves and Puck followed. Inside, Sabrina saw a queen-size bed. Two adults lay on top of it, sound asleep.
Mom, Dad,
the girls cried, and rushed to their side.
They're still asleep, a voice said from behind them.
It was old and crackling, but oddly familiar. Sabrina turned around and saw an old woman in a wheelchair in the door of the tent.
Girls, I'd like to introduce you to the general, Charming said.
Sabrina studied the woman closely. She wore a bright yellow dress and a matching hat with a sunflower applique at its center. Trotting around her chair were four Great Dane puppies. She was incredibly old, but her eyes still had a youthful glimmer.
Granny Relda!
Daphne cried as she raced across the room and wrapped the old woman in a hug. Sabrina followed more slowly, shocked at how old the granny looked.
There's a name I haven't heard in many years, the old woman said.
She studied the girls' faces and then turned to their older counterparts with a confused expression.
It's a long story, old lady, Puck said.
Well, I suppose you better start telling it, Granny replied.
The group shared a meal of potatoes, venison, and black bread, while the recent events were explained to the future version of Granny Relda. During the meal, she studied maps and reports provided to her by soldiers who waited for her orders, then ran off to perform their duties. Sabrina watched the old woman closely, noticing the deep lines in her face and the trembling, arthritic hands. Sometime during the meal, a little man wearing a crude military uniform emblazoned with dozens of bright badges and medals came over to the table. He was the same man they had spotted training soldiers. He saluted the old woman with great respect. They briefly discussed the forces at the riverside and agreed on the best strategy for attack. When the conversation was over, he saluted Granny Relda again and then disappeared. It took Sabrina several minutes to realize who he was.
That was Mr. Seven, Daphne said.
Actually, we call him Captain Seven, Granny Relda replied.
Captain Seven is a great leader and demands quite a bit of respect around here,
Charming explained. He's been responsible for many of our army's successes.
Why do you need an army? Sabrina asked.
To fight the Scarlet Hand, of course, Granny said, as she tossed chunks of her dinner to her four impatient puppies. Since the Master rose, we've been one of the main fronts in the battle for human freedom. There are other units scattered around the world, and I've been leading the charge. That's how I got my little nickname. Truth is, without Seven and the brave members of the army, we wouldn't stand a chance. The Master and his hand are relentless.
But how did it get this bad?
Daphne asked, as she glanced around at the rough camp. They plundered the Hall of Wonders, the grown-up Sabrina explained. They opened every door and took anything of value. What they didn't take, they set free. There were horrible things behind some of those doors. It threw the town into chaos. She shared a knowing look with the old woman.
One of them tried to barbecue you earlier today, Puck added.
Why didn't we stop it from happening? Sabrina wondered.
"What were we supposed to do, Sabrina?"
Granny Relda said, before breaking into a coughing fit. When she recovered, she continued,
"What could an old woman and two little girls do?"
"You're forgetting Elvis," Daphne said.
"And we must not do that. He was a brave soul. These four pups are his great-grandchildren. Let me introduce you to John, Paul, George, and Ringo."
The dogs raced over to Daphne and sat with begging eyes until the girl surrendered her venison steak.
"Yep, they're related," Daphne said, as she hugged them all. "What about Uncle Jake?"
The old woman shifted sadly in her chair.
"He was arrested and put into the Ferryport prison," she said softly. "They gave him a trial and sentenced him to life, but he tried to escape, and he was killed."
"I saw it," Sabrina cried. "I saw that happen outside our window. He was shot with an arrow."
Granny Relda shared a confused expression with the older women and Puck.
"I don't remember that happening."
"I certainly don't remember it,"
the grown-up Sabrina replied. "How can these things have occurred in the past, but we don't remember them? Our Prince Charming didn't disappear. I never saw Uncle Jake murdered when I was young. We didn't just pop up in the future, either."
"How long have you been here?"
Charming asked the girls.
"A couple of hours," Sabrina said. "What about you?"
3 months.
"So you're not a future version of Prince Charming?"
Sabrina asked, doing her best to understand all the new information.
"No, I'm from the past. I mean, the present. It's all still very confusing. I went for a walk after I lost the election to the Queen of Hearts. I wanted to clear my head, think of a way to change my fortunes. And then I found myself here. It took me several hours to figure out that I wasn't where I was supposed to be. It appears the same thing has happened to the two of you."
The older Daphne shook her head.
"Something is happening back then that shouldn't have happened," she said. "We believe it's creating tears in time."
"Tears in time?" Daphne asked.
"Yes, they're doorways that suck people out of their time. They're not supposed to be possible, but whatever or whoever is causing them is somehow blending their future and our present."
"And maybe all of our pasts," Sabrina interrupted.
"We saw a band of Indians attack Baba Yaga this afternoon. I mean, 15 years ago.
"Now, I know that never happened," the older Daphne said.
"So, this is worse than I suspected," Granny Relda replied. "When the two of you vanished, did you see a storm come out of nowhere?"
Charming asked. Sabrina nodded.
"And there was one when I saw Uncle Jake die."
"And when the Indians appeared and attacked Baba Yaga," Daphne added. "By the way, where is she?"
"The witch was one of the first of the resistance to die," Granny Relda said. "She made a foolish error, then she destroyed her guardians. She never took time to replace them, and it left her vulnerable. The Scarlet Hand cornered her in the forest and killed her, but not before she took out nearly 40 of them."
"The house ran off," Puck said. "We found it cowering at the top of Mount Taurus, and we've been using it ever since."
"Maybe all this has something to do with the case we're working on," Sabrina said, watching the older version of her sister standing cold and distant, away from the group. She shuddered to think what had happened to steal the happiness from Daphne, or what had caused the horrible mark on her face.
"That case?" Granny Relda asked.
"Someone's been stealing magic items. The Wand of Merlin, the Wonder Clock, and some water from the Fountain of Youth have all been ripped off."
"I remember that case," Granny Relda said. "We never solved it."
"Unbelievable. Relda Grimm would never let a mystery go unsolved," Charming said with a hint of disdain.
"There were other things, urgent things, that needed our attention," the old woman said.
"The taxes?" Sabrina asked.
Her older self nodded in agreement.
"Yes, among others. Uncle Jake had his hands full with Baba Yaga,
After that, things got even worse, and we just never had time to do any more investigating.
What got worse? Sabrina asked, suspiciously.
The adults were silent for a long, heartbreaking moment. They looked at one another with strained expressions, as if weighing how much pain their next words might cause.
They should see the house, the older Daphne said.
Don't you think that's a little harsh? Granny Relda asked.
If we don't show them the truth, they will go and discover it for themselves. You remember how we used to be? We were always running off in the middle of the night. We can't allow them to do that. They wouldn't survive. It's best if we feed their curiosity, no matter how painful it might be.
She's right, Relda, Charming said. They'll sneak out, and this time they might not come back.
If they were to be killed, we would die with them. They're us, the grown-up Daphne added.
The older Sabrina shrugged.
I guess it's for the best.
Sabrina and Daphne stared into each other's eyes. Silently, they shared their fear for what they were about to see. What could be so bad?
Show us, Sabrina said.
Sabrina felt the house make another abrupt turn. She glanced out the window and saw abandoned homes and a forest charred with black smoke. Roads were ripped in half and littered with abandoned cars. After a while, the creepy shack came to a lumbering stop.
We're here,
the future, Daphne said, as she glanced through the window. We can't stay long.
The dragons circle the area in 15-minute cycles, and we don't know when the last one started,
Granny Relda explained. Sabrina felt the house lower. The older Puck came from the other room with his crossbow and arrows in hand. He kicked open the door, took a peek outside, and then gestured for everyone to follow. Sabrina and Daphne shuffled outside with Charming close behind. And then they saw it, the plot of land that had been their grandmother's home. Their house and any sign that it had ever existed was gone. Not even the trees had been left behind. Instead, an enormous castle made from black stones sat on the property. It had two high towers and a drawbridge over a moat dug around the perimeter of the building. On top of one of the towers, a black flag with a blood-red handprint in its center fluttered in the wind. The air smelled of sulfur. Sabrina could feel tears run down her face, and for the first time in her life, she didn't try to hide them.
I haven't been here in 15 years, the old Sabrina said. Never thought I'd be strong enough to look out at it.
How do we fix this? Sabrina interrupted.
Fix it? Her older self said. I don't know if you can fix it.
You have to send us back, Daphne said,
her own face wet with tears.
Now that we know what is going to happen, we can change it.
Charming nodded. My plan exactly, and we're working on a way to do just that. The tears in time pop up all over the place, but by the time I get to one, it is already closed.
Then we're stuck here?
Sabrina exclaimed.
No. The future, Daphne said. We may have a way to predict when they come.
Sabrina noticed something unspoken pass between Charming and Daphne's future self. Whatever it was, it made the older Daphne tense.
People, get back into the house. Now!
Puck shouted as he pointed toward the sky. Sabrina looked up and gasped. High in the charcoal sky, another dragon sailed overhead. It was green, black, and red, and puffs of smoke drifted out of its wide reptilian snout. Its roar shook the earth with a boom, and from its gruesome jaws came a torrent of liquid flames that turned a nearby stump into black ash. The older Sabrina helped Granny wheel her chair into Baba Yaga's house. The rest of the group followed and slammed the door behind them.
House, let's move it!
The older Sabrina shouted, and the building once again rose to its feet and raced into the woods.
Can we outrun that?
Sabrina asked, as she watched the dragon blast another nearby tree.
No,
the older Daphne said, rushing to the window and shoving the girls aside. She threw it open and pointed a long, thin wand outside.
All we can do is fight. Give me some water!
she cried. Water blasted out of the wand like it was a firefighter's hose. Unfortunately, the woman's aim was off, and it hit the beast in the chest. She cursed herself and shook the wand angrily.
"Not feeling well today, Marshmallow?" Puck said. "'Cause if so, I could go out and fight it myself."
"I'm tempted to let you," she replied. "And don't call me that ridiculous nickname." Daphne stuck her tongue out at her older self. "Hey, Cranky, I like my nickname."
The future Daphne looked at her younger self, and a small, almost imperceptible smile crept onto her face. Then she turned back to the open window.
"Give me some water."
A torrent of water exploded into the sky like a geyser, and this time it hit the dragon squarely in the mouth. The beast tried to roar, but only a breathy squeak came out. The loss of its most deadly weapon seemed to hinder the dragon's ability to fly as well. It fell to the ground hard and disappeared from view.
"Nice shooting, old me," Daphne said.
"Unfortunately, it's only temporary," Granny Relda said. "Let's hope that we can put some distance between us and it before it reignites its pilot light."
Sabrina and Daphne were given two cots to sleep in. Without Daphne by her side, Sabrina felt strange and lonely, but most of all concerned that her little sister was feeling the same way. She was about to ask Daphne if she wanted to talk, but a low, rumbling snore came from the little girl. Apparently, the shock of their current situation wasn't causing Daphne any loss of sleep.
"Child," Charming said, softly, from his cot across the room.
Sabrina sat up and rubbed her eyes.
"I'm awake. Have you seen Snow?"
Sabrina nodded. "She's worried about you." Charming nodded, as if he shared her feelings.
"I need to know something. How did Daphne get hurt? I mean, the older Daphne. How did she get that scar?"
"It was my fault. I asked her to help me find something. It was dangerous, and we ran into trouble," Charming said.
"What kind of trouble?"
"Nottingham."
Sabrina shuddered, imagining the wicked sheriff's serpentine dagger.
"She was helping me recover something," Charming said. "Something that will help us go home. But Nottingham was guarding it, and he... well..."
Just then, the older Daphne entered the tent. "It appears our little mission has paid off," she said to Charming. "I may have found another tear in time."
"Can you tell us when and where it will be?" Sabrina asked eagerly.
"The Ferryport Landing Cemetery. We need to leave now."
The adults led the children through the cemetery. There were headstones as far as the eye could see, and a crumbling mausoleum leaning precariously across the path. Weeds had grown over most of the burial plots. None of the cemetery's lamps were working, so the group had to rely on the bluish light of the full moon. It gave everything and everyone a ghostly quality.
"I cannot guarantee the tear will take you back home," the older Daphne said. "In fact, it could put you into an even more dangerous situation."
"What could be more dangerous than running from dragons all day long?" Sabrina said.
"Appearing in the past during the witch trials, for one. Imagine popping up in a Puritan camp and being burned at the stake. Or you could be sent further into the future, when my sister and I are dead, and there is no one to protect you from the Scarlet Hand."
"So we could step through the tear, only to find a hungry Tyrannosaurus Rex on the other side?" Sabrina asked.
"No, T-Rexes weren't native to North America," her older self explained.
"But you could step through and find yourself in an ice age, thousands of years in the past, or far into the future on the day the sun goes supernova. This isn't a ticket on the Metro North train. We don't know where you'll end up."
"Then this is too dangerous," Granny Relda said.
"Relda, we know we can't stay here," Charming said. "If there's a chance to get back and make things right, I'll take it. I can't speak for the girls, but I'm going through."
"We'll take our chances too," Daphne said.
Sabrina looked to her sister, surprised by her assertiveness, but nodding in agreement. Little chance was better than no chance at all.
The event should take place within moments.
The future, Daphne said.
Are you ready?
Everyone nodded.
So where is it going to happen?
Charming said impatiently.
The future Daphne took a small black orb out of one of her pockets. It shimmered, and soon Daphne was shimmering as well.
Directly above that grave, she said, pointing at a tombstone.
Charming's face blanched. He walked to the grave reluctantly, as if it pained him to stand near it. Sabrina and Daphne joined him, unsure of what had caused the change.
Then Sabrina saw the name on the granite headstone.
Snow White.
Daphne gasped.
They killed her, Charming said.
The Scarlet Hand killed her.
Why?
Charming shook his head miserably, then grabbed Sabrina and Daphne by the arms.
If we go back, we have to change this. We have to change everything we can.
We will, Sabrina said, surprised by his impassioned demand.
Just then, a black cloud covered the sky. It churned like an angry whirlpool, quickly forming a tornado. The abrupt change in the sky was startling.
That's it, the elder Daphne shouted. It's coming!
Charming knelt down and caressed the granite as if it were Snow White's delicate face.
Take care of yourselves, girls,
the older Granny Relda said as the cloud got wider and uglier.
And take care of each other, the grown-up Sabrina said.
You too,
Daphne shouted over the wind, roaring in their ears.
Well, Relda, am I interrupting another tender moment?
A voice said in a loud growl.
The group turned to find the wolf rushing at them.
I hope you don't mind. I brought some friends.
From the horizon, Sabrina spotted what appeared to be a small army. They marched toward the group, holding spears, bows and arrows, and swords. On each of their chests was a horrible mark the girls had seen many times, a blood-red handprint. It was the army of the Scarlet Hand. The future Daphne reached into her overcoat and took out a wand. She turned it on the wolf and a shockwave came out so powerfully, it sent the beast flailing backward over the high trees. Unfortunately, it did nothing to stop the approaching soldiers.
Sister!
The future Daphne started, but the blonde woman was already leaping into action.
I'm on it!
The elder Sabrina said. Puck swooped down, scooped her up, and flew her straight toward the approaching soldiers. The two disappeared into the throng, and moments later, Sabrina could hear the sounds of clanging swords, groaning men, and Puck's cheers and laughter. Sabrina heard something zip through the air and saw an arrow land only inches away from her foot. Another arrow whizzed past and hit a nearby tree. She pulled her sister close and looked at Charming and the future Daphne.
I hope this is going to happen soon.
The future Daphne raced to Charming's side and pointed to her face.
Make sure that Nottingham pays for this.
Sabrina looked at the jagged scar on the woman's cheek. She hoped that the rough winds had prevented young Daphne from hearing the terrible conversation.
I will,
Charming shouted. Sabrina had a million questions, but she never got a chance to ask them. At that moment, the world dissolved right before her eyes.